Welcome back to the Swim Swam Breakdown. I'm your host, Coleman Hodges, coming to you from Austin, Texas, joined by Yin-Yin Lee from Evanston, Illinois. Yin-Yin, were you one of the millions and millions of viewers of the women's NCAA championship game last Monday?
I was one of the 18.9 million viewers. Were you?
I actually was, but it was kind of a coincidence. I was just happened to be at a friend's house and they had it on, but it was very exciting to watch nonetheless. Yeah. I'm very happy I got to participate in that sport fandom. Do you think swimming's going to get there soon? What do you think? When do you think swimming's getting 18.9 million viewers or college swimming? Well, I should say,
well, they've got to be on a platform to actually release the viewership first, because they're not going to tell us those ESPN Plus numbers.
Fair enough. So there you go, NCAA swimming. Step one, release viewership. Step two, perhaps grow viewership. All right. Well, we did have a lot of fast non-NCAA swimming happen this weekend. All over the country, world, there were swim meets happening every which way. This is kind of a time of the year, and more specifically a time of the Olympic quad, where things get really nutty, where you have swim meets in the United States where lots of international swimmers are trying to qualify for the Olympics, and then you have swim meets abroad where international swimmers are trying to qualify for the Olympics as well, and then you have U.S. swimmers who are just kind of prepping for trials. So all around, a lot of fast swimming. Yin-Yin, I'll hand it off to you first. What were your favorite swims from this weekend, or favorite swim, favorite swims? What did you like that you saw out of the myriad of competitions happening all over the world?
I really liked what I saw from Gretchen Walsh. See, she put up a bunch of personal best times in the 50 free, 24.29 50 free, 56.14 100 fly, 53.1 in the 100 free, and I think it's sort of dispelling a lot of the talk that she's benefiting a ton from her underwaters and that her long course won't be able to translate. And she hasn't made the same leap that Kate Douglas made last season, but she's certainly getting it there. And I mean, 56.1 100 fly, that could medal in Paris. So just really good stuff from her. I was also really impressed with Caleb Dressel's 50.84 100 fly. It's his first time breaking 51 since his comeback. And he just looks a lot better than where he was last season. And I tweeted about this earlier today, but I think him going back in form and potentially getting progressively faster and faster is really going to prove a lot of people wrong in Paris, the people that said he was washed and done for and that like other younger swimmers were better than him.
I can only hope and pray and keep these fingies crossed that he does, because that would be so cool to see him have success in Paris. Let's go back to Gretchen Walsh. What do you predict for her this summer? I mean, because I think there are a lot of people who are like, oh, she can't swim long course, she hasn't had international success, blah, 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 blah. But if you look at her long course seasons since the 2021 Olympic trials, where she admittedly by herself did not have a very good meet, you know, I think a lot of people probably expected her to maybe make the Olympic team in a relay spot. And I think she expected that of herself, and then that did not happen. Since that summer, she's gotten progressively better and better and better in long course. Like, you can see her long course catching up to her short course and improvements being made. You know, the next year, she barely misses that world championship team. The year after that, she makes the world championship team and gets on an international podium. And so it's like, you can see the growth. But what do you see for her this summer? Look into your Yin-Yin crystal ball, which is accurate.
Oh, God.
Many a time.
Are you sure? I feel like
I want to say this on camera.
I feel like
Dari Rose's dad came up to me at a swim meet in C2 Ace and said, hey, I want you to thank Yin Yin for me because Yin Yin predicted Dare making the world championship team, and he did. And that was all Yin Yin. So I have faith in Crystal Ball.
I think, yeah, I predicted him to make the Olympic team back when everyone was like, Dare, Rose, what are you talking about? But he's certainly on track to do it again. But I feel like I'm very selective when it comes to me saying what predictions I have. Because when I do correctly predict things, I amplify them and everyone sees them. It's like confirmation bias, but not confirmation bias. It's something along the lines of that. But I'd say my prediction for Gretchen Walsh, nothing outrageous, no hot takes, that she medals individually in at least one event. And she did last year in the 50 fly, which is probably her best event in long course American record holder. But in an Olympic event, she's going to medal long course. I don't know if she's going to win gold just because her events are super competitive, but medaling is definitely a possibility.
And like you said, 50, like right now, if I was going to predict just trials, even, you know, it's like, I think she makes the team in the 100 fly. I think she makes the relay in the 100 free, if not top two. 50 is a crapshoot. I think that like American sprinting on the women's side is at an all-time high. It is the best it has ever been by far. It only looks bad when you compare it to Australia because they are yeah. insane. But like you can see the American women's sprinting inching up and inching up. Like they are absolutely leveling up. We saw a 52. We saw three or four American women went 53.2 or better at an in-season meet this weekend, which I think is very significant. That was one of my favorite things I saw. Because it's like, we might not be able to beat the Australians still, but like they are getting better. They are getting better and better and better. So I see good things on the horizon there.
Not you referring to the Americans as we. What happened to journalistic integrity?
Sorry. I mean, I am an American. But I never claimed to have journalistic integrity when it comes to rooting for swimmers, but maybe I have. Maybe I'm just lying through my teeth. We saw a lot of good swims from Gretchen's UVA teammates as well. God, what's the South African's name?
Amy
Caney. Yeah, I thought it was really cool to see Amy Caney drop a 156 in the 200 free and qualify for the Olympics for South Africa. Kate Douglas and Alex Walsh both had very good meets in San Antonio as well. So I think it's a very encouraging sign that not only Gretchen, but a lot of those UVA women are translating their NC2A success from this season over into the long pool as well.
I mean, I think at least Kate and Alex, they've always been good long course swimmers. It's just they don't seem as dominant as they are in short course because long course is more competitive. I was thinking about this the other day, but Kate Douglas is probably has the most impressive resume in the world when it comes to versatility, just like the range of events, but there's a chance she doesn't win a single individual gold medal at the Olympics because swimming the 200 breast, Tatiana Schumacher just went 219.0 in the 200 breast, which is faster than Kate Douglas' best time. So it's like the translation is there. You're just with a better playing field.
Absolutely. That was on my list of impressive swims. 105.4 and then 219.9 from the defending Olympic champion in the 200 breast right after getting married too. She has a wedding and then immediately goes to trials and just like puts the hammer down. So Schumacher, now Tatiana Smith, really threw down, and I'm curious to see what Douglas goes at trials in the 200 breast. I feel like that might be a little bit more of an apt comparison.
Yeah, definitely. I think the fact that Schumacher was competing at trials does make the context of her swims different from Kate Douglas's pro series swims. We've seen in the past, Douglas usually has her best swims of the year during trials, so faster times from her. This is totally unrelated, but my family's Chinese and women don't change their last names after they get married. So like whenever I see other people doing it, I'm just like confused. So it's like Tatiana Smith, like why would you do that? Anyways.
I think Schoonmaker or Schoonmaker is a cooler last name than Smith, but I guess she probably won't have pronunciation issues anymore. So yeah.
That's the one benefit.
Switching gears to a different meet, we saw the inaugural Canadian Open, which is kind of a series of meets that Canada will be hosting in the run-up to the 2028 Olympic Games, just in an effort to have more higher quality domestic competitions in swimming, and in turn to kind of ramp up their Olympic movement in the sport. So it was really cool to see this meet that did bring in a lot of high-level Canadian talent. I think it would be really cool to see in the future Americans more international athletes go to meets like this, which I think there is a possibility of post-Paris Olympics. I think people probably don't want to travel a ton to be competing right now, but I thought there were a lot of cool swims there. Maggie McNeil and Summer McIntosh like laced up and had battle in a few different events, namely to me at least the 100 free and 100 fly, where Summer McIntosh took the win in both, which I think was kind of fun to see Summer's versatility and sprint side, that she can even take down the defending Olympic champion in her pet event, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree with you about how I really like the idea of a Canadian Open. Just any opportunities for swimmers to swim, but just opportunities like that is cool. Kind of reminds me of the World Cup in Toronto, where a lot of Americans participated. So to definitely have a close by international competition is really, really good. And I agree. I thought there were some impressive swims, especially from Summer McIntosh. Penny Oleksiak's continuing her comeback. CBC put out an article a few days ago about Oleksiak and how she's sort of swimming freely right now. She's not swimming because since 2016, the plan had always been to retire after 2024, and there was like a lot of pressure on her. But now she's more of like, I swim when I want to, and I'm not going to put this pressure myself. She's right now says she wants to swim through 2028. Says this year is the first time that she's swimming because she likes swimming. So definitely great to see her get back on track after she scratched almost every meet imaginable last year.
Yeah, absolutely. I had the opportunity to talk to Penny a little bit in Westmont at the Pro Swim, where that was like her first competition in, I think, maybe a year. But dealing with a lot of injury, I think it's has to be super hard to become an Olympic champion at 17, 16 years old, when Penny did, and just become kind of the icon of an entire country. And so to see her kind of go through this swimming journey and have a lot of pressure, and I mean, she performed really well at the Tokyo Olympics, coming off of a global pandemic tied with all of the pressure that was put on her, you know, and then kind of have a couple down years that are riddled with injury, and then to see her come back and actually enjoy swimming again is super cool. And I think we see that in swimming a lot, where people will have success in younger years and then kind of go through a period where they don't match that success necessarily, at least on paper, and it can be hard or they plateau, but then kind of get through it and mature, not only physically, but emotionally. And then they're able to enjoy what they're doing and kind of change, have a perspective shift. So yeah, it is cool to see Penny swimming freely, as she said to the CBC. So one more swimmer that we obviously saw coming off of NC2As in San Antonio was Leon Marchand, who not only swam at the San Antonio Pro Swim, but also had a big announcement that was confirmed by his coach Bob Bowman, and that is that he is done with NCAA swimming. which we kind of suspected would be the case all along. But it was confirmed that he is now officially a professional swimmer. Yin-Yin, I don't think there are too many groundbreaking thoughts to have, but did you have an initial reaction to this statement?
Well, I saw it coming. I thought it was good that he went pro right when Bob Bowman left for Texas, because we know that if he wasn't going pro, he would probably transfer. So he doesn't have to deal with like the whole quote unquote loyalty thing of people saying, "Oh my God, like you are a Sun Devil for life." And so he can claim to be a Sun Devil for life and say that he helped his team and join Bob Bowman. But even without all that, this was to be expected. I've anticipated him going pro after this year since his freshman season. So, yeah.
Yeah, this has kind of been the worst kept secret in swimming, or just, you know, it seemed like this was going to happen, because obviously he meant a lot to the ASU team. And if you listen to his interviews, it's very obvious that the ASU team meant a lot to him. And he hasn't officially announced that he will be like based in Austin after Paris. And I think there's a real chance he stays in France at least for a while after Paris. So we'll kind of see how that goes. But for now, he got to make his mark at Arizona State. And I think that's a really cool thing. And now we get to see how his pro career goes. Mm-hmm. And obviously that's going to start this summer in Paris. He had some promising swims in San Antonio. He got beat in the tuna breast, which was a little unexpected. We also found out from San Antonio that Bob Bowman will be coaching on the French team. And that will not only allow him to coach Leon, but his other swimmers who are of other nationalities. I am very curious if Team USA will like embrace that role and let him coach swimmers like Chase Kalish or Jay Litherland if they make the team, or if they're going to be more how they normally are, because they wouldn't let a Team USA coach international athletes if they're going to be like, you can't talk to your US athletes.
I feel like even with the technicalities, he will find a way, because that's what happens. You pull some strings, you're Bob Bowman, you can do whatever you want.
So obviously he will get to coach the other international athletes that he coaches, such as Hubert Kösch of Hungary. I do have a quick topic on another athlete of Hungarian descent. Krisztof Milak had some pretty good results at Hungarian Nationals last week. And that is going to lead us into Sink or Swim. So first up today on Sink or Swim, Krisztof Milak, 50.9 in the 100 fly, 154 in the 200 fly. It's a pretty promising results. He was 48 in the 100 free as well. And I think he won the 50 freestyle. So he showed his sprintier side for sure. Do you see him medaling in Paris?
I mean, I think the thing is, great ones always find a way, especially those ones that are seasoned and have had experience winning. We're seeing this with Simone Manuel and Caleb Dressel. Both of them took breaks during this Olympic cycle, but so ever since they went back into full training, they've just been getting better and better and going back to their peak form. And I think Krisztof Milak is going to reach that point. And he's a lot younger than both of those swimmers, so definitely has it in him. And again, this is probably his first time competing in quite some time. He still won 50.9 in the 100 fly, 154 in the 200 fly. Those are two really good times. So I think he will get on the podium, if not win, and then I fully expect him to be the favorite for the 200 fly as we get closer to the Olympics.
Okay, bonus sink or swim. If you're Leon Marchand and you have to pick two fly or two breast at this point, which one are you going with after seeing Milak's performance in that two fly?
I think I'm going to have to go with the two breast, because I do think, and I've been very adamant about this for the last few months, but Chen Haiyang is the clear favorite in the 200 breast, but he is less dominant in the 200 breast than Milak is in the 200 fly. And I think if you race the 200 fly, you have a risk of being left in the dust, even if you go a personal best. So I think swimming the 200 breast would probably give him a better shot at winning gold. And also, it's one of those events where he's never really raced on the biggest stage. So, I mean, he already has his two main IM events. If he wants to maybe experiment with a third event, the 200 breast could be a good one to do it in.
Oh, sorry. I skipped. I'm going to swim Milok medaling. I think if he's this good in April, he's going to be better. I did not have faith in Christoph Milok before this. So I'm eating my words. I did not think he was going to mount a successful comeback like this. But you know, this weekend proved me wrong. So I do think he's going to medal. If I'm Leon, I would still go with the 200 fly though, just because I think he can beat everyone but Christoph Milok, and I still think there's a good chance he could beat him. But, you know, like, Leon might be able to go 151, and Christoph...
And Milok is going to go 150, maybe 149.
You think he's going to go best time? Like, I think it's very plausible that he adds... He hasn't been training. I mean, so what if it's the Olympics?
Holman, I know you're a Leon homer. I get it. But no.
But no what? There's no way that he beats Christoph Milok.
No. Well, I don't think there's no way, but the chances are pretty slim.
I just don't believe that. I don't get why everyone thinks Christoph is going to go best times.
I mean, he doesn't have to go best times to beat Leon Marchand.
That's correct, but I think there's a high chance that Leon goes a best time in the 200 fly. And if he does, and Christoph Milok adds time, if he doesn't go a best time, then like there's a meeting there, or there's a probable... Here's my thing. He has one competitor in the 200 fly. He has two competitors in the 200 breast. Like, that's simple math. There are two guys that could very legitimately beat him. And then I think there was one guy who legitimately could beat him in the two fly. That's my logic, and I'm sticking to it.
Newsflash, two was bigger than one.
I don't know why that's so hard for people to process.
Okay. I understand what you mean by that, but I am higher on Milok's chances than you are. And I do not know why the lights just went dark. That was weird.
It's all good. Okay. Our next sink or swim. Bob Bowen is obviously the new director of swimming at the University of Texas. He made that move. He made that announcement a couple weeks ago. He's going to be making the move to Austin within the coming weeks, months. His pros will be training there. And the recruiting train to Texas, Bob Bowman, has already started. So I am curious, do you see the Texas men placing top two at the NCAAs in the next two seasons? So at the 2025 or 26 NC2A championships?
I'm going to be cautious and sink 2025 at least, just because Hubert Koch will probably be a big scorer. Owen McDonald is good, and they're in the portal right now. But the thing is, a big, big part of ASU success had to do with Leon Marchand. One, Leon Marchand, and two, a bunch of sprinters in that. Texas is still the distance-heavy team that it is. And I do think they'll do better than this year, but there's a lot of other good teams that are also in the running. Like, NC State has a really good recruiting class coming in next year. Florida's really good, and it's really easier said than done to transform a program back into the top two, especially with men's NCAA being so competitive now. So I'm going to sink it for now. And also, they don't really have any good recruits in 2025.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very dependent on what the ASU guys are doing. Owen McDonald, Hubert Koch, Zalan Sirkhani specifically. I know Hubert... He obviously wouldn't say, like, oh, I'm going to transfer to Texas if he hadn't made that announcement yet or if it's not official yet. But he did say in San Antonio, I entered the transfer portal so that I could talk to Bob Bowman because he's my coach, which makes a lot of sense. And obviously, if he's as he's an NCAA athlete at ASU, and so he wants to be able to talk to his coach, Bob Bowman, in the lead up to the Olympic Games. So that kind of left the door open to maybe Hubert Koch staying at ASU. I think it's more likely he transfers to Texas, or maybe he just doesn't do college swimming anymore and goes pro. You know, like I think all three of those are possibilities at this point. So if they get those three guys to transfer in to Texas, that's a swim for me. I mean, combined with what they've already got, I think they could be top two in 2 years. But if they don't, then I'm with you. I think it's a sink just because it does take time to build a program and also build a culture. I'm guessing there might be, you know, some guys that leave the team in the next couple of years just because of adjusting to what Bob is doing and his new thing. That happens whenever you get a program gets a new head coach. So yeah, and there are a lot of really good men's teams right now. Indiana's great, Florida's great, NC State's great, and got a good guys coming in. So
I do think they're gonna transfer and not go pro, because if they went pro, then they probably would have just went pro instead of entering the portal.
That is a good point, but it all happened so suddenly that they might just be still weighing their options, and it might happen that they decide after the Olympics, maybe, like, oh, I'm actually going to go pro, because, you know, in Hubert's case, maybe he wins 2 Olympic gold medals. I don't know. I feel like that's, you know, it could happen, but so there's a lot we're going to have to wait and see for in the future for NCAA swimming. But for now, I think it's going to take at least 2 years for Texas to get that top back to the top two. That's our news for the week. Thanks for tuning in to the Swim Swam Breakdown, and we will see you next time.